Today we're looking at FinTrade Bench, a new benchmark that tests large language models on finance-specific reasoning. The central question, can current LLMs reliably handle financial problems like multi-step trade calculations, temporal logic around settlements, and interpreting regulatory clauses? Why do domain-specific benchmarks like this matter?
FinTrade Bench is built to answer exactly that. It's a suite of tasks focused on financial reasoning, numerical computations across sequences of trades, temporal and event reasoning like settlement windows and option expiries, multi-hop decision problems such as rebalancing, and interpretation of regulatory language. The creators used a mix of synthetic problems and annotated real-world scenarios, and they evaluate not only raw accuracy but reasoning-specific errors and calibration. Baselines include zero-shot and few-shot prompts, chain of thought, and fine-tuned models. The goal is to surface where models break down in finance-relevant ways.
And the stakes are real. In production, a bad calculation or a misread contract can mean financial loss, regulatory fines, or audit failures. Firms need traceability. Who made the call? Why? And can you reproduce it in an audit? So benchmarks that mimic those harms help engineers build safeguards before deployment.
That makes sense. Why not just rely on general NLP benchmarks or toy math tests? What gap does a finance-specific benchmark fill?
General benchmarks miss domain assumptions. Units, rounding conventions, market conventions like T+2 settlement, and legal phrasing that changes obligations. They also undersample adversarial edge cases. A model that does well on generic math might still fail on a chain trade sequence or a clause that flips liability. FinTrade Bench tries to capture those failure modes explicitly.
From an industry angle, you also need metrics that reflect production risk, latency, worst-case error, explainability, and the ability to integrate deterministic tools like calculators or rule engines. Academic accuracy numbers are helpful, but you need benchmarks that map to operational requirements. That's why this one is useful.
Great. Short and sharp. We'll dig into what's in the dataset, how models perform, and what that means for builders and compliance teams in the next segment.
FinTrade Bench is structured around four core task types: numerical reasoning across trade sequences, temporal and event reasoning like settlement and expiry, multi-hop decision problems such as portfolio rebalancing, and interpretation of regulatory or contractual language. The creators mixed synthetic problem templates to cover combinatorial edge cases with annotated real-world scenarios drawn from anonymized trade logs and redacted contracts. Annotation included multiple passes, automated checks for numeric consistency, and human reviewers for intent and legal interpretation.
Can you give a concrete example of one of those tasks so listeners can picture it? Say the net profit calculation you mentioned earlier.
Sure. A typical numerical task might give a sequence. Buy 1,000 shares at $10, sell 500 at $12 2 days later, pay a $50 commission, and have a USD/EUR conversion on settlement. The model must compute net profit after commissions and conversion, respecting settlement timing, which matters if FX rates change between trade and settlement. Templates vary the operations and introduce rounding and currency conventions to catch brittle shortcuts.
On the annotation side, they also label the kinds of reasoning required and expected intermediate steps. That enables error categories later. For datasets meant to mirror deployment, they use time-based training test splits and held-out instruments so models can be tested against realistic distribution shift, like a new derivative product appearing in test data. They also created adversarial examples to mimic sloppy data inputs from real feeds.
Speaking of evaluation, what metrics do they use beyond simple accuracy, and how do they categorize reasoning failures?
They report accuracy for discrete tasks and numeric metrics like MAE or RMSE for calculations. Crucially, they add reasoning-specific labels: arithmetic error, temporal inconsistency, e.g. misordering events, misinterpretation of clauses, and hallucination where the model invents facts. Calibration metrics are included too: Brier score or reliability diagrams, because predicted probabilities matter for downstream decisions. Experimental setups cover zero-shot, few-shot, chain-of-thought prompting, and fine-tuning, and baselines include a range of LLMs, instruction-tuned GPT-style models, open weights like llama variants, and smaller specialized models.
From an industry lens, those academic metrics are useful but incomplete. In production, you add latency constraints, worst-case error thresholds, explainability requirements, and integration ability with deterministic tools. Benchmarks that simulate streaming inputs, incomplete fields, and real-world latency-impacting behavior are far more actionable. Training test splits need to model temporal drift and adversarial attack surfaces so you don't get surprised when the market structure changes.
How do they handle edge cases and adversarial inputs in practice? Are those synthetic red teaming exercises or real incident replay?
Both. The paper describes automated adversarial generation, perturbing numbers, shuffling event orders, injecting ambiguous wording, plus a human red team phase where domain experts craft corner cases, like a contract clause that pivots liability based on an embedded reference to a separate document. Each adversarial example is annotated with the intended interpretation and difficulty level, so downstream evaluation can weight errors by risk.
And on the tooling side, they test integrations. Can the model call a calculator or a symbolic solver and return a verifiable transcript? They log intermediate steps so you can audit a chain of thought or the exact retrieval context. That adds overhead, but it's essential for explainability and for meeting audit requirements. The benchmark includes scenarios that measure the cost of those mitigations, increased latency, or API calls, so engineers can quantify trade-offs.
Quick recap. FinTrade Bench mixes synthetic and real scenarios across four task types, uses multiple error categories and calibration metrics, evaluates typical prompting strategies and fine-tuning, and includes adversarial and time-split tests to approximate production drift. That sets us up well for a deeper look at where models actually succeed and fail in the next segment.
Okay, diving in, the core findings are fairly consistent. LLMs do well at pattern matching and surface arithmetic when you guide them. Chain of thought prompting often produces correct intermediate calculations. They also handle template-style regulatory language if it's close to training data, but they break on long multi-step calculations, temporal reasoning across events, and implicit assumptions that humans fill in, like settlement mechanics or contingent contract references.
That matches what I worry about in production. A model that hallucinates an extra trade or misorders settlement events can cause wrong P&L and trigger compliance flags. Miscalibration is another issue. Models give confident but incorrect outputs, and that's a risk you can't accept for trading or audit decisions.
The paper's error analysis is useful here. They categorize failures into arithmetic errors, temporal inconsistencies, misinterpretation of clauses, and hallucinations. They instrument models to capture intermediate steps and then compare those steps against annotated gold traces. Examples include a chained trade where the model forgot to apply a commission before converting currencies, and a clause where the model assumed a liability shift that only applied if a referenced appendix was invoked.
How repeatable are those experimental claims? In my experience, small data drift or a new instrument type can explode error rates. Are the papers set up stress tested for that?
They do time-based splits and held out instruments to mimic drift, plus an adversarial suite crafted by domain experts. So the results aren't just optimistic lab numbers. They show degradation under distribution shift. Still, that doesn't eliminate all surprises. It quantifies where models fall off, so you can target fixes.
Good. Quantification is key. From an operational view, mitigation is multi-layered. Force deterministic calculations to a calculator or symbolic solver, use retrieval augmentation for contract context, and put a human in the loop for high-risk outputs. Also log provenance, which retrievals were used, solver traces, timestamps, so you can reconstruct decisions in an audit.
Agreed. The paper experiments with tool augmentation, calling a calculator API for arithmetic, using an internal document retriever for clauses, and verifying results with symbolic checks. Those reduce arithmetic and hallucination errors substantially. They also test ensembles and re-ranking to improve calibration, multiple models voting, or a verifier model that checks consistency.
Those mitigations introduce trade-offs. Adding a symbolic solver or retriever increases latency and engineering complexity. Fine-tuning a model for finance helps, but is costly and can overfit. Prompt engineering is cheaper, but brittle, so teams need to balance latency, cost, and the acceptable risk envelope.
That's where targeted benchmarking helps. The benchmark includes scenarios that measure the cost of these mitigations, like extra API calls and the latency impact. The recommended approach is hybrid: lightweight prompt engineering for low-risk tasks, tool-augmented inference and human review for high-risk decisions, and fine-tuning where you have stable, high-value workflows.
Let's have a short debate. I'll push that academic improvements don't always translate. A paper mitigation might cut errors in controlled tests, but in live systems, noisy feeds, partial data, and downstream systems break assumptions. How do we ensure monitoring catches that?
Fair point. But the paper anticipates this by proposing continuous evaluation, stream-based benchmarks, adversarial red teaming, and thresholds for automated handoffs. The experiments show that a verifier model plus provenance logging catches a high percentage of failure modes. Not all, but it's measurable improvement. The key is integrating benchmark-derived checks into CI and monitoring.
I'll accept measurable improvement as a baseline. Practical next steps I'd push: mandatory provenance and audit logs, adversarial robustness tests as part of pre-deployment, and regulated testing regimes for models used in decision-critical roles. Also, invest in model ensembles and a lightweight verifier service to avoid single-point failures.
I'd add, standardize evaluation metrics focused on risk, worst-case error, calibration under drift, and auditable intermediate traces. Open-source adversarial datasets for finance would accelerate robustness research. And keep experimenting with symbolic NN hybrids so you get the best of both worlds.
Quick synth. Models are useful but brittle. Successes on pattern tasks, failures on long chains and temporal reasoning. Mitigations exist but cost latency and complexity. Now, rapid fire recommendations for builders. What are three concrete first steps teams should take this week?
1. Instrument outputs with intermediate step logging and require verifiable traces for any automated financial action. 2. Add a deterministic calculator or solver for all numeric outputs. 3. Run adversarial red team cases from your trade and contract types before rollout.
My 3. Enforce provenance logs and integrate them with your audit pipeline. Set up threshold-based human-in-the-loop for high-dollar or high-risk decisions, and implement continuous drift detection on instrument types and market behaviors.
Before we close, let's quickly touch limitations and broader impact. Mark, you mentioned regulatory limits. What should teams be aware of?
Regulators will expect explainability, repeatability, and demonstrable testing. Automated reasoning that affects customers or compliance likely falls under stricter review. Also, watch for dataset bias. Models trained on certain market regimes will misbehave when regimes shift, which isn't just a technical issue, but a fairness and systemic risk concern.
Ethically, we must avoid over-automation where models make unilateral financial decisions without human oversight. The paper flags potential misuse, for example, bad trading advice or wrong contract interpretations. So responsible disclosure, clear operational limits, and robust testing are non-negotiable.
All right, key takeaways. FinTrade Bench gives teams a focused way to stress test financial reasoning. It highlights concrete failure modes, and it points to pragmatic mitigations: tool augmentation, logging, human oversight, and adversarial testing. To finish, a quick reminder: the podcast is available on Spotify. Search for Ship It with AI. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.